G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Ewan Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
Now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing this morning, I tell you what, there is a lot of stuff going on. The citizenship controversy will not go away for Labor at the moment. And there's a lot of talk about whether all the politicians who have been caught up in the citizenship saga are going to face court again, because if they've unknowingly, or if they've, more to the point, if they've knowingly misled the Australian people, then there is a possibility that they're going to have to pay back thousands and thousands of dollars, which is going to add up to millions and millions of dollars. We are going to talk about that later on this morning. There is a commentator who is getting a shellacking at the moment for her comments in regards to changing babies' nappies. I am going to talk about it across the morning this morning. I've put a post up on our Facebook page and I want to hear from you to find out what you think, whether you think it's political correctness gone absolutely mad. There is other things making news, Eurovision, and a very sad day for an Australian scientist who said goodbye to the world overnight. We'll talk all about these and many other things across the morning this morning.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. 11 after 6, right through the month of May, the Mangambia Visitor Centre is going to be the place to be. They're going to be opening up after dark to host a display of the glowing ghost mushrooms. Now, Ghost Mushroom Lane has been opened up by Forestry SA. We were talking to the team from Forestry SA about a week and a half ago. We've got all the details online at triplem.com.au about how you can go out and check out these mushrooms in the wild. But for those of us who are maybe not as mobile as we used to be, for those of us who would still like to take a sticky beak, Mangambia Visitor Centre over the next month, why not go along and check it out? It is going to be absolutely fantastic. 18,000 people last year went and took a look in the forest. If you'd like to go along and check out what is at the visitor centre, they're going to have three sessions, 6:30 p.m., 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. And a fee of $5 per person is all it's going to cost. Bookings can be made by emailing the visitor centre or by giving them a call. Group bookings are welcome. And again, we have got all the details online at triplem.com.au. But how cool is that? If you can't make it out to the Glencoe Forest to check him out, you can now do it at the Visitor Centre, which is absolutely cool. We're going to be back in a moment. Karch is going to join us, start talking about the ghost mushrooms and a whole lot more.
Ewan Grant.
For breakfast. Triple M.
On 963 Triple M, US President Donald Trump says he's going to meet with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. It's all going to take place June the 12th in Singapore. It's going to be the first ever summit between the leaders of the two countries, and we're going to hear more about it across the morning this morning. Now, on 963 Triple M, other things to talk about, stuff closer to home. It is time to say good morning to Karcha.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, the Labor Party is urging the Coalition to revisit the Mobile Black Spots program. Locals and tourists will now be able to get a glimpse of the famous ghost mushrooms indoors at the Mount Gambier Visitor Centre. This weekend, we'll see Limestone Coast locals out for the Mother's Day Classic, and Wattle Range Council have announced essential bridge maintenance for Millicent. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Now, 963 Triple M. Karch is going to be back in the next 10 or 15. The Commonwealth Bank has revealed that Australians in the week leading up to Mother's Day have spent a staggering, get this, $458 million with special experiences among the most popular presents for mums for Mother's Day. Now, I am going to make one mum's day later on today, speaking of Mother's Day, because we've got an amazing prize. A dinner party for mum, up to nine of her friends, valued at $2,000 with local chef Kirby Shearing. We are going to do the draw later on this morning. We are going to make one lucky person so amazingly excited. It is not funny.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
It's great to have your company this morning. The internet is going to go bonkers today, especially because of the post that I put up onto our Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page. A commentator who was talking on the ABC, I saw an article about it last night, and I was horrified. The commentator has been mocked for saying that parents should ask babies for consent to change a nappy. Now, I'd like to know what you guys think about that. I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to know whether you agree or whether you think that that this is over the top political correctness. Now, I've got to send out a shout out to Robin, to Sean, to Leslie, to Adam, to Jeffrey, and to Robert, who are all up and about nice and early this morning, are all on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page, and all think that it is political correctness gone utterly, totally bonkers. But the joy of social media is that we all get to have a say. So you can give me a call on 1320 710. We can have a chat. You can jump online to the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page and tell us what you think there.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Now, Bill Shorten reckons he can do better than the government, which is easy to say when you're in opposition. We're going to find out why soon. Karch is going to keep us up to date with what is making news across the Limestone Coast. And, well, a bloke you're going to hear a whole lot about today, a life well lived. David Goodall's final words and his last meal. David Goodall is a beloved professor, a scientist of high esteem, and overnight he has voluntarily ended his life after making his private final preparations and saying goodbye to family. Luke and the team on the night shift were talking a little bit about it this morning. Here's what they had to say.
And just a sad note to finish the week on, David Goodall, he's ended his life at 104.
Yes.
He wasn't ill. He didn't have a life-threatening disease, but he just thought to himself, I'm going to retire.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, he's been going downhill. He admitted that he's but he had to go through the right procedures with the doctors over in Switzerland to make sure that he was of sound mind when he decided, look, you know, this is time for me to go. I'd like some help in taking my own life, please. And that has happened overnight. He has passed away over in a Swiss clinic. As far as we know, he's a bit a bit humorous, just saying. His last words were, "Well, this is taking a long time," and his last meal was fish and chips and cheesecake.
There you go. Voluntary euthanasia. That debate will be raised again, no doubt. But
absolutely.
There he is, out at 104. Scientist David Goodall.
Now on 963 Triple M, we're going to catch up with Hannah Rose Hamer. She's going to tell us more in a moment.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
It's the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I tell you what, this weekend it is going to be bumper. There is heaps of stuff going on. And one of the big events is the Mother's Day Classic. A man who knows all about it is the guy that I get to talk to from Squashbrook. Simon, good morning.
Good morning.
Mate, Mother's Day Classic. Why do we want everybody in the Limestone Coast to get involved?
The Mother's Day Classic supports breast cancer research, and with the prominence of the disease in our community being that one in eight Australian women will be diagnosed in their lifetime with breast cancer, and 40 Australian women are diagnosed every day, it's such a wide-reaching disease that we need to continue to fund these research projects to find the cure.
It's a disease that touches almost everybody. It's in one way, shape or form. And it's not until you start to hear statistics like that that you see how widespread it is. And if we can get everybody in the Limestone Coast to get involved in something like this, the fundraising capacity, if you multiply that across Australia, is so far reaching.
Absolutely. And these events take place in all major cities and quite a number of regional centres across the country as well. And it's exactly that. It's that this does affect every one of us in the community, be it mothers, daughters, sisters, aunties, cousins, best friends. The disease touches so many of us. And with this research, better treatment practices and improved survival rates are all on the up. And so it's really critical that we get behind it and try and save and improve the lifestyles and those going through the treatment, make that easier for them as well by attending something as simple as this, coming along, getting together, the emotion and the community spirit that is at every one of these events every year just blows us away and makes us feel like, you know, this is a really worthwhile cause to keep fighting. We have survivors doing it. We have people doing it for people that have lost those very close to them. We have multiple generations all doing the walk together. You know, this is more people walk than run, and it's a fun run walk, and you can choose this beautiful vista to participate in any way that's going to suit you best. You know, having three generations walking together is just amazing. Grandma, mum and daughter walking along together, husbands in tow as well, and sons, and, you know, having these family outings and doing something to make Mother's Day really special and make a difference.
Now, Simon, what time is it all going to kick off on Sunday?
So we've timed the event, we think, pretty well to accommodate every Mother's Day. Typical breakfast in bed and then going out for lunch potentially or having a special lunch as well. So we've jammed it right in the middle. So it's a 10 o'clock start, but you can register on the day from 8:30 till 9:30. Formal proceedings kick off around 9:45 with the actual event at 10 a.m. And then we've got a very special event to follow as well. And Kirby, together with a number of super generous local businesses, have put together a brunch to help increase the amount of funds that we can raise for the event. So every dollar sold from those tickets is going to the fundraising efforts from the Mother's Day Classic, and including a very special performance from Louise Adams. So that's going to be a real highlight of the late morning brunch that we're putting on as well.
And once again, a great way to have an entire family come together and do something positive to support those that are suffering from breast cancer.
Absolutely. I think just the whole morning, the whole vibe is going to be just, truly remarkable.
Now on 963 AAA, we're going to tell you more about the Mother's Day Classic across the morning this morning and many other events that are going on right the way across the Limestone Coast. But a big shout out to Simon and to everybody who has got together to make the Mother's Day Classic such a great event.
The Limestone Coast 963 AAA.
The Limestone Coast 963 AAA. When it comes to news, Bill Shorten is in the news. He's had his reply to the budget that was handed down during the course of the week. He reckons that he can double our return if he was to become the Prime Minister. He reckons that he could give each and every taxpayer up to about $930. We're going to find out more with the national news team. Harvey Weinstein's wife has broken her silence in regards to everything that has taken place with the Me Too campaign. And, of course, Harvey's allegations of sexual misconduct that have plagued him since early last year. You will hear a lot more about that across the day today. There is news from the US President, Donald Trump. He's going to meet North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, on June the 12th in Singapore. It's the first time that the summit between the two leaders of the two countries has ever taken place. And these are just some of the stories that are making news across the morning.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 AAA.
The Limestone Coast 963 AAA. I tell you what, as we round out the working week, there is something that Katja was talking about in the news yesterday. The claret ash, the tree that fell down in the Cave Gardens, there is plans afoot to do something with it. We get to talk to the team at council about it. Nick Searle joins me on the line. Nick, g'day.
G'day, Ewan. How are you?
Yeah, good, Nick. It was, it was a bit of a tragedy to see such a huge tree fall down in the middle of the Cave Gardens, but there's plans that council have got for it.
Yeah, that's right, Ewan. It was sad to see that beautiful old tree damaged in the storm a couple of months ago now, but we've been working since then on assessing whether the remaining 2 metres of stump that we deliberately kept on the basis that we might be able to do something with it, whether it's viable to be carved. And we've actually now determined that is viable, and council will be making a decision on Tuesday night as to whether they want to go ahead with carving that and leaving that stump there in the Cave Garden and carving it into a piece of public art.
See, that would look sensational, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, it would be. It is a good option for what we do with what's remaining there. And as I said, there's a recommendation going to council that they, we'll see whether they choose to do that.
Nick, it brings up an interesting point. Are you guys going to put another claret ash into the Cave Gardens, or how do you decide what trees to plant anywhere across the city even?
Yeah, so council have a tree policy that anyone's welcome to come into council and have a read of, or even go on the website and have a look at. And there's a lot of work gone into that document to ensure that the trees we plant in various reserves, like the Cave Gardens or even on the sides of the roads, are suitable in size and type for the area we put them in. So,
no weeping willows next to drains.
No, absolutely not.
Nick, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, I was doing a bit of cruise around yesterday and went past the Valley Lakes, and there's some work going on down the Valley Lakes at the moment.
Yeah, that's right, Ewan. We're doing some work down the Valley Lakes at the moment to take the electricity that we currently have over by the conservation park area across to our storage shed and the main toilets in the central area of the Valley Lakes there. And the main reason we're wanting to get electricity across there is we'll be doing a major upgrade, and we'll see some nice new toilets here in that main area in the next financial year.
Oh, mate, sounds wonderful. Hopefully we get the chance to talk a little bit more about that as it gets closer.
Absolutely.
Hey, Nick, let us know what council decide next Tuesday. It'd be great to have you back to find out what happens with the remains of the Claret Ash. Great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Ewan.
On 963 Triple M, Nick Searle joining us from council, having a chat this morning.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We're going to check birthdays for you soon. We're going to catch up with Katja and find out what's making news around the Limestone Coast. But one of the stories that is being talked about at the moment is the citizenship saga, which just refuses to go away. You would have thought that when it first reared its very ugly head, the citizenship saga would have been dealt with, done and dusted, every side of politics, very, very quickly, very, very quietly, because it is, well, it's an indictment on our political system and on our politicians, that they're, that if nothing else, a lot of them are a little dodgy. I mean, they have quite blatantly stood up in front of television cameras, in all the media, and said, "We're fine. There is no problem. Everything's sorted when it comes to citizenship." And then they have been found to be lying. Now, the Labor Party is squarely at the centre of this at the moment. They've got four MPs who are about to leave politics today. But the hand down of the High Court's decision took place a couple of days ago. So what has happened is the government officials have refused to stand down before today because they want their accommodation paid for in Canberra. They want their flights back to their electorates paid for by the taxpayer. And this morning, Luke and the team were talking all about the citizenship issue and whether or not these people who have lied to the Australian people need to pay the money back.
These politicians who are leaving the parliament today because of Section 44 of the Constitution, breach thereof, we find out that they've been sitting in parliament earning over nearly $2 million, $1.5 million illegally.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's always that thought of how much money is actually being spent by them or, you know, paid to them, you know, and they've been sitting in Parliament and they haven't been following the rules. So the telly's come out all basically just saying that upwards of $1.5 million for these four Labor members, so three lower house, one senator, and there's also an independent MP in there, $1.5 million in the last 6 months going towards them when they shouldn't have been eligible to be sitting in Parliament in the first place. So it's a question which is going to be raised for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And they're not the first. We've seen politicians on both sides of the fence sitting in Parliament when they weren't entitled to. Section 44 of the Constitution obviously needs to be addressed. You can't change the Constitution without a referendum. That's the thing.
Mm.
And you can't cherry pick which parts of the Constitution you want to follow and not follow.
Well, what's interesting as well is that the Perth barrister, John Cameron, who got this whole thing rolling when he questioned the eligibility for Green Senator Scott Ludlam and his New Zealand nationality, who got booted, he's now saying that, hang on, all these guys and Whitman who've been caught up in it, so about 15 MPs, members of Parliament, they could still be in trouble because if they actually knew before they actually applied, well, then they've broken the law in that respect as well because they've lied to a public office.
That's right.
So he's basically saying that these guys, even though you know the majority are back in and there are a number who are going to recontest their seats, don't think they're out of the woods, and that's what he's saying. And he could, and he's gone to the High Court before about this. So you know, there could be more that comes out of it.
That will be very, very interesting to see if that stands up.
Oh yeah, big time.
And a lot of very worried politicians. I'm tipping today.
I would think so.
And there should be a lot of very worried politicians. I mean, a number of them, if not all of them, a number of them have lied to the Australian public. And we put up with this. I mean, it's amazing. No wonder we are so apathetic when it comes to politics here in Australia. No wonder we couldn't trust our politicians as far as we could kick them. And it will be amazing to see what happens over the course of the next couple of weeks when it comes to the citizenship saga that refuses to go away for every side of politics.
Ewan Grant.
Triple M.
Now, on your local, as we wake up this morning, I tell you what, if you are looking to keep up to date with some of the things that are happening across the region, the farmers are welcoming autumn rains across the Limestone Coast. Hopefully it hasn't been too much for them in the last 24 hours or so. There's a lot of talk about fracking in the Limestone Coast, and our member from Mount Gambier, Troy Bell, is on the front page of the paper this morning talking all about His warning to the state government to back a moratorium on fracking in the southeast or face a potential voter backlash. Also in the pages of the paper today, a bloke who's no stranger to the Limestone Coast Triple M, Sergeant Andy Stopp from SAPOL, has got together with a group of other people. They're combating ICE, and there's going to be a community drug update forum take place in Bordertown and in Mount Gambier. It's all going to take place in Mount Gambier on the 21st of May at the Sir Robert Heltman Theatre. You can find out more about it in the pages of the paper, and we'll catch up with Andy next week.
The Limestone Coast. Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
Good morning, you, and good morning, Milo. And wherever you are, Barney, good morning to you all, son. How are you?
Now, KG, AFL, and I always say sport, and particularly footy, is a reflection of society. Yep. And unless you've been living in a cave, we all know where that's going, depending on how old you are. Now,
exactly.
Nick Natanui, the suspension. Oh. I'm going to take you back. We'll do this first. Your era, the 60s.
Yep.
Just a free kick, would you have pinged them for undue rough play or not?
No, I wouldn't have. I'd have pinged him for in the back, no question about that. But fair dinkum, honestly, that is ridiculous. That's been going on for 100 years. There's 100, and bloke weighs 110 kilos. Tackles a young player who weighs 80. What do you expect Nat Millie to do, or any player in that position? He had the momentum. He couldn't do anything about it. No one wants to see the young man aim on suffer concussion. Whether that was the incident that did it, I don't know. But that's not a threat. That's not a report. That just a one-game suspension for that? Give me a break, Milo.
There you go. The lesson for the little fella is to make sure you don't get caught, son. But anyway, great talking point. Now, of course, the Twilight Showdown. We've lost count of how many. This is definitely a Final Eight, Final Four game. What's your prediction how it'll pan out, KJ?
Well, it's going to be interesting, Milo. On form, you'd have to pick the Crows. And that goes without saying. Port were bitterly disappointing last week, but beware of the wounded tiger or the wounded lion, whatever you want to call it, because they'll react to what happened last week. That's not Port Adelaide. That's not the Port Adelaide Football Club that I've known over the years, and they will react to that. Now, surely the Crows would be prepared for fire and brimstone in the opening of the game tomorrow afternoon, because that's exactly what will happen. If they can absorb that, I think the Crows will win, no doubt. Their form's good. They've won 5 on the trot, and they're in form.
And obviously Richmond are the standout, which was expected. Yep. They're full of confidence and self-belief. But the rest of the comp and that jockeying for the 8, KG, you've really got to have your best side on the park or you're going to be in trouble.
Well, you do. And you've also got to ask the point, the trading that Port Adelaide did pre-season. Milo, look, at this stage, Rockliffe has hardly played. Motlop's been up and down. Jack Watts has played one good game. You've got to ask the question whether that's worked for them, because and you're right, this is a very, very important game, and that adds more fuel to the fire.
Now, the cricket, we have had the one day and the T20 squads announced, one for England and the other one for Zimbabwe, and they'll play Pakistan as well. Vice-captain Alex Carey, so they're giving the young guys a go with the T20.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've always said it, and I've said it since day one, this kid is special. He reminds me so much, and it's probably unfair for me to say this, reminds me so much of Adam Gilchrist. He's a clean strike of the ball. He's got soft hands behind the stumps, and this kid is going to be a very, very long-term player for both South Australia and Australia. But what about the bloody Indians? Fair dinkum, who's running cricket in this country when they say, we're not going to play the first test at the Gabba, we're not going to play the first test at the Wacker, we're not going to play a day-night test match? Without being crude, I'd say, get stuff, you're not coming.
Yeah, they have to make a decision, and really it's been going on for too long.
Oh, well, they're just running cricket, for goodness sake, because they produce the most money, they call the shots. It is ridiculous. What's the ICC doing? The International Cricket Committee, that's supposed to be running cricket on the world stage. It's downright rude.
I think honestly, we need an investigation into that body, because so there could be corruption everywhere, KG, because we're due for a big sporting one to come out.
Yeah, and Milo, before I leave you, the rumours, and you know what rumours are like in football, you've been it longer than me, you know what they're like, but there's a feeling here that Rory Sloane is off.
Oh, gee.
That's a strong vibe going around at the moment, that he's off.
So the wife might have won out, you reckon?
Well, when don't they win out, Milo? With all due respect to the lovely, lovely ladies.
Now, just before you do go, KG, you're 78, you'll be 79 this year. You finally made it. You're rubbing shoulders and swooning with the latte set down the bay because that's where you're living now. How good is that?
Well, it's fantastic. Around the corner from Bruce McAvaney, around the corner, I'll name drop again, Bruce McAvaney, Studley Corns and Kane Corns and young Chad as well. So I'm with the elite. It's the West End boy joining the elite, so to speak.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman, Mount Gambier.
Now, talking more sport in the lead up to 8 this morning. Milo is still with me in the studio, mate. Lots going on.
Yes, and all the local footy netty will continue, of course. Stay dry, of course, and travel safe. Now, we're on the big stage with netball. National underage and tall athlete squads have been announced and featuring ex-local girls Nia Allen in the 17-under squad, and she's with Garville in Adelaide in the senior comp up there. Molly Watson, another Mount Gambier girl, and also with Garville, and she'll be on the Know-It-Alls Netball Show this morning just after 9, and of course her last stop was Western Border there, but she cut her teeth in Middersea as well. And in the 19 and under national squad, we have another Mount Gambier girl, Nia's sister Sienna Allen. She's going to be very busy because she plays for Garville as well, but she's also been included in the tall athlete national squad, so she's going to be busy over there in Canberra when that all happens. And we won't forget up the track, Good Morning Mundala, Macy Nankerville, and a special good morning to Dad Neil, who cruises around and keeps us safe here in Mount Gambier in the lower southeast. Now, on the big stage as well in Adelaide, the initial SA under 16 state footy squad's been announced, and that's a squad of 50. And we must congratulate four Limestone Coast southeast boys, and they are Jaden Grosser from Millicent, and as well Hamish McRae there, Will Schreiber from Keith, and from Bordertown, Regan Tink. All the best with those boys. And of course, we know that the SE women's girls are going to play in the carnival up in Renmark July the 7th and 8th. And that squad has been announced, a squad of 45. And well done to SANFL Southeast Operations Manager Mike Morby for getting that out. And that complete squad is in the Border Watch today. Go, girls. And of course, this weekend in Middersea, Netty and football, they're turning pink and blue because it's local fundraising for breast and prostate cancer awareness support groups. So please dig deep, keep warm, and as the Pirates say, Yui, keep your powder dry. Now, later we're going to catch up with Kazet Real Pioneers coach Richard Hill, specifically asking him who's in and who's out of that team. And then after 9, the Ray White-Keatley Know-It-Alls Netty and Footy Show. Have a great weekend.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
This weekend, it's going to be absolutely massive. Lots of stuff going on. The end of the Port Macdonald Offshore Angling Club Tuna and Sport Fishing Tournament this weekend, although it's not looking great to be out on the water. The Red Cross Blood Service finish up their visit today. They'll be in town for just another couple of hours. And today, I tell you what, race day, Narracourt Racing Club, ladies' night for Variety, the children's charity. There's a fundraiser in Narracourt tonight at the golf club. And this morning, the District Council of Grant are having a morning tea for volunteers. These are just some of the things that are going on across the Limestone Coast. Lots of stuff taking place tomorrow and into next week. Let me tell you, there is some great stuff happening as well. We've got a lady called Tash on the line. She's going to talk to me all about the Panola Coonawarra Arts Festival. Tash, good morning.
Hi, Ewan.
Tash, lots of stuff going on in Panola through the Coonawarra. Take us through what we're going to get to see and be able to experience.
Oh, what can't you experience? The Arts Festival is just so varied. It's got so much stuff. It's obviously not this weekend, but next. Starts on the Thursday and goes all the way through to the Sunday. You hear Arts Festival and most people probably think, oh, it's just art exhibitions. It's actually not just that. What we like to think of it of as is probably something for everyone, whatever your interpretation of art is, I suppose, whether you like stand-up comedy, whether it's music, you know, live music, I think that's art, or modern art exhibitions to more traditional art. Bowen, for example, doing the Art of Preserving, which is a preserving vegetable class. All sorts, kids' activities, opera on the Thursday night. Gosh, I don't even know where to finish. Sunday sessions on the Sunday. It's just amazing. It's just a hub of activity, basically.
Tash, because there's there's so much going on for the 3 days of the event, what's the best way for people to find out what's going on and, of course, what is going to appeal to them?
Yes, good question. I always direct people to the website. I know that's hard for some. Maybe people don't have access to the internet, but if you just pop to the library or local library and just tune into the web, it's called the website artsfestival.com.au. So that's artsfestival.com.au. And the homepage is pretty good. And if you scroll down, halfway down, there's a brochure and you can kind of scroll. It's like an interactive brochure, which you can scroll through. Mm. Or just contact the Panola Visitor Information Centre. Kat will be there, or one of her colleagues. And Kat's amazing. She's one of the volunteers on the committee, and she basically knows everything about everything. So, the Information Centre in Panola will be a pretty good contact to have if you want to just actually speak to a human being live.
It all kicks off next Thursday, running right the way through next weekend. So many incredible artistic experiences all on offer in our own backyard. Tash, we're going to catch up next week. We're going to talk more about it. Thanks for joining us this morning, all right?
Thanks, Ewan. Have a good day.
You too.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Ewan Grant for breakfast.
Triple M.
Triple M.
Oh, 963 Triple M. You should see my studio at the moment. I have a beautiful bunch of flowers, all thanks to the team at Bunches and Bouquets. What's going to happen is I'm going to give that bunch of flowers away to one lucky mum. I'm also going to make them the winner of the Mother's Day Your Perfect Chef competition. We are giving mums the chance, of course, across the Limestone Coast to win a fantastic dinner party valued at over $2,000, and I have to do the draw in the next 10 minutes. We're also going to catch up with Hilly, talk basketball, and there's some art on this weekend that I'm going to talk about in the lead up tonight, so make sure you stick around. Time to catch up with Katja, though. It's a big good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, the Labor Party is urging the Coalition to revisit the Mobile Black Spots program. Locals and tourists will now be able to get a glimpse of the famous ghost mushrooms indoors at the Mount Gambier Visitor Centre. This weekend we'll see Limestone Coast locals out for the Mother's Day Classic, and Wattle Range Council have announced essential bridge maintenance for Millicent. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Now, I've got to tell you, there is a whole bunch of stuff on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page, so much more than I can talk about this morning, so why not go along and check it out today? Also jump online to triplem.com.au, where we've got a whole heap of really cool local stories going on. One of the things you want to look out for is my video of what's on this weekend. The team from the Mount Gambier City Lions Club, they're going to have a barbecue tomorrow out at Bunnings. They're going to raise some money for Triple M's Give Me Five for Kids. All the money going to the kids' wards of the local hospitals. I would love you to grab a sausage out at Bunnings tomorrow and help out to raise much needed funds if you can.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I tell you what, we've got more sport to talk about, and today Pioneers are going to be in action out at the Ice House. 7:30 is when the tip-off is going to be. I'm going to give you the chance to win tickets soon, but Milo, we've got Hilly on the line.
We certainly have, and boy, aren't Nana Wadding and the kids at Real Pioneers going to heat up the Ice House tonight. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, Milo, Ewan, how you guys?
Yeah, we're looking forward to a big night and a big weekend. Of course, stay warm, stay dry, but it'll be nice and comfortable inside of that Ice House tonight. None of Wadding head over, 5 wins, 1 loss, and we're obviously looking to get our best team back on the boards. How are we looking with ins and outs?
Maybes. Tom Daly had a good week this week. He still hasn't trained yet, so he'll try next week. Hopefully, we might be able to get him on the road. Majuk's still in Adelaide and getting treatment on his ankle. Brad got through a session last night, so we've really got to decide today how he pulls up and see how that's tracking. So he might be a starter, but if he does, it would be limited minutes, I think. And we have Tim coming in for the weekend, which is good. Tim Conrad will be helping us out. So that's a big plus for us.
And Matt Sutton hadn't been sneaking around the sidelines because he's back into club basketball and shooting a few baskets. So if it comes a crunch, I'd say he'd jump in.
No, he's too busy trying to get a kick for South Gambia. Last night, I think he would have rather been a basketball. Probably a basketball or out in the ice house and out in the back in the old days, my way out in the horrible weather.
Yeah, it brings back memories. Hilly, Nana Wadding, obviously they don't sit second on the ladder for no reason. What are some of the pluses for them and the personnel?
Well, look, they're pretty much identical to the last few years. We just got over them last year, you remember, in the conference final in the last few seconds by 3 points. So they're a good team. They always have been. We as a team respect them enormously. We feel like they're always the most difficult team in the competition to beat. So nothing's changed. They've been at the pointy end every year for the last 4 or 5 years and been a terrific rival of ours. So whilst we will be very different to what we were this time last year, they are the same, but look, we're still playing the same brand of basketball, so hopefully that's going to be good enough to get us over the line.
7:30 tip off. Local supporters, get out there because they need that little bit of extra to push them over the line. If we can pinch a win like this, it'll be a real bonus down the track. Coach Richard Hill, all the best to you and the boys tonight.
Good on you, Milo. I look forward to seeing you out there tonight and hope we can get our usual big crowd there supporting us.
It's Ewan for Brekkie on 963 Triple M.
I am so excited I could almost burst into song, but I don't know how the song goes. I'm so excited, I just can't hide it. Anyway, on 963 Triple M, over the course of the last week or so, we have been giving you the chance to win a dinner party like no others on us. They had $2,000. Kirby Shearing, local chef, doing all the work, coming into your place with all the crockery, all the cutlery, everything he needs, putting on a dinner party for 10 people. Now, not only is he going to do all the cooking and bring everything with him, he's going to clean up afterwards as well, which is just awesome. It is time for me to ring one lucky person. I have just done the draw. Let's find out if she answers.
Hello.
Hello, Katie.
Yes.
Katie, this is Ewan at Triple M in Mount Gambier. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Katie. What are you up to today?
Working. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you all set for Mother's Day?
Yes.
Maybe. Are you going to surprise your mum with a present, or is this maybe a present for you?
Oh, what's happened?
Oh, what? Katie. I hear that you might have entered the draw for Triple M's Your Private Chef.
You're joking.
Not yet. I'm a terrible jokester. I can tell you, for the last couple of weeks, we have been raving all about Kirby Shearing, because Kirby, I've known this man for a couple of years, and he's still never invited me to a dinner party.
Oh, my God.
But we are going to give away a dinner party for 10 people with Kirby. Yes. He's going to do everything. He's going to bring it all. He's going to cook.
I heard that on the radio.
I know. So my question, Katie, is this going to be a present for Katie, or is this going to be a present for Katie's mum?
Katie, because my daughter entered, my three daughters entered it for me.
Who are your three daughters?
Sarah, Jasmine and Chelsea.
You are going to owe Jasmine, Chelsea and?
Sarah.
Sarah, huge amounts, because guess what, Katie?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, indeed. You have just won!
Oh, my God, I can't. Oh, my God, I'm just in shock. That is amazing. I never win anything. Oh, my God.
Katie,
oh
my I am here to tell you, congratulations from all of us here at the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God, thank you so much.
I think this is going to be incredible.
My heart is racing. Oh, my God, thank you so much. I don't know what to say. I'm just blown away.
Katie, have a wonderful Mother's Day from all of us here at Triple M.
Thank you.
Go home, hug the girls and go, oh, I love you.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even begin to, because I'm just such a foodie as well. So.
Well, Katie, you are going to have to come back on the show after you have this dinner party with Kirby and 9 of your friends.
Oh, yes.
You're going to have to tell me exactly what happened.
Yes.
Blow by blow. I want to know all about it, all right?
Oh, wow. My pleasure.
Katie, congratulations from all of us.
Thank you so much. You have an exceptional
day.
Yes. I hope you enjoy the day too. Thank you so much.
On 963 Triple M. Reckon Katie's just a little bit happy at that. Congratulations. And a big thank you to everybody who entered the draw to see if we could make them a winner.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
The boys from Hall & Oates, it's 963 Triple M. Some footy tipping still to do later on today. Going to talk all about consent as well, because it's making news. My Facebook page is absolutely going off this morning. You guys are having your opinions across the Limestone Coast. Now, one of the things that's going on, there is heaps of stuff going on this weekend across the Limestone Coast, but there are some great exhibitions that you can check out at the Riddoch Art Gallery. I get to talk about one of them this morning. It is called Murmuration. It's an exhibition by Gina Raisin. She is in my studio. Hello.
Greetings.
Murmuration. What the bloody hell is it? I've been dying to ask this all morning.
Murmuration is, everyone would have seen a murmuration.
Really?
You look up in the sky and when there's a big flock of birds right. and they fly in unison in those beautiful patterns.
That's what it is.
That's a murmuration. If you look into the ocean and you see a school of tuna swimming in unison, that's a murmuration. The
you
murmuration
learn something
happens
new every
everywhere.
Day.
There you go.
Whoa. Fantastic name for an art exhibition.
Yeah, I thought so too. I love the word. The word sounds like what it looks like.
Mm.
That's part of the reason why I love it so much. And it just gave me entree to be able to paint and explore a whole lot of things in our natural universe.
So this weekend, the exhibition opens. You're in the front gallery of the Riddock Art Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
You have a curator, which is something new from all accounts.
Yep, that's right. I'm Serena Wong, who works at the gallery. Mm-hmm. Serena has been working with me probably for nearly 12 months now, talking about the exhibition, what it was going to look like. And she's helped me bring it all together and make it cohesive. And that's what a curator does. And then gives you advice on how to put the pieces together and how to have a narrative, I guess, in the gallery space. And she's also written a fantastic essay for me. So I'm very excited for that to be released tomorrow.
This is going to sound stupid, but how do you paint? Because obviously standing in front of a blank canvas and going, what's next, has got to be pretty hard.
It's an interesting process for me, and I guess it's different for all artists, but I have painted the painting in my imagination before I even stand in front of that white canvas. So my difficulty was when I got to the last canvas, which was 1.65 metres square, I still had five great big ideas in my head that I had already painted. Mm. So it was the difficulty of choosing which... what's going to come up.
Yeah.
But I'd already chosen the name of that painting because I had to because of lots of different reasons. So it was called Wasserstrudel, which means vortex in German. And so...
Another awesome name.
Yeah, I love words. Can you guess? So that was... that's my process. So basically I've painted it in my imagination. Lots of sleepless nights just building it.
Over the course of the next couple of months, people are going to get the chance to check out this exhibition. Mm. It looks stunning from all accounts so far. And you've been able to do some work with one of the artists from Generations in Jazz.
That's right. Brittany Van Zyl is an honors student at the JMAG University Academy. And she's a wonderful young woman. I got to hear her final year composition last year at the Jazz Club.
Mm.
And I was really inspired by her music. And I asked if I could paint in a response to her music. So I've painted two paintings, Brit's Rondavel, which is a response to her suite of music, which is she created while she was travelling through Africa. Hmm.
Nice. So opens up this weekend. When's the first chance that we get to check it out?
Well, look, come on down at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on Saturday. Everyone's welcome to come along to the opening. It'll be a big celebration because I do like a party. So, you know, more the merrier, I say, and it'll be a great opportunity to also see the Catherine Truman exhibition, which is spectacular, and I have seen it before. So, you know, as Molly would say, do yourself a favour.
Make sure you come along and check it out. Gina, great to have you in the studio this morning. You have a great day. Good luck with the opening.
Thank you so much, Ewan.